This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
We try not to play that. Good day, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show. Canada's daytime sports talk show is on the air. RP here, DD there. And we're coming to you from the Bermuda Triangle of the National Hockey League.
Yes.
And the breadbasket of the Canadian Football League, the heartland of the CFL, right here, out here in Western Canada. We're trying to steer clear of U.S. election talk, but that's going to be impossible, I think. I will tell our national viewers that are watching on Game Plus TV that we're already an hour into today's show. What's it now? Wednesday? We've had far more time adjusting to the time change than before.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why.
Right into it before.
Yeah, and we came in hot.
No big deal.
Not that this is a bad thing, but I'm just saying we've already had on the air. We could call hour one, which was on Facebook Live only, the Philly special. Because we had Devin Caney, the face of the National Lacrosse League. She joined us from Philly. And Dan Cerovelli, the cousin of TSN's Frank Cerovelli, joined us from Philly as well to talk Flyers. But this hour, I'm so excited to tell you, Blue Jays great Todd Stottlemyre will be joining us. You want to talk about the breadbasket. He was with the Blue Jays from 1988 to 1994. And after that, it doesn't matter. He'd already won his two World Series. But he had stops in Oakland, Arizona, St. Louis, and Texas. Todd Stottlemyre coming up in segment two of the program today. But let's go through the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. If you don't mind, Director Jordan, the most underrated director in show business. These are the most important six topics in order of importance to me. Number one, Antonio Brown has been activated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he will play this Sunday in prime time for the Bucs against the New Orleans Saints in a battle for first place in the NFC South. It's only Wednesday, and I'm already excited for the game.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about the Dallas Cowboys, which is the shirt that I'm wearing. We've all forgotten about my Dallas Cowboys. This is what it's all about. And the very quick point I'll ask you is, do the Bucs even need Antonio Brown? I'm not worried about him poisoning the locker room, but do they even need him?
Yeah, Tom's got the locker room locked down. I think that's not a problem. And I think absolutely. I think just another weapon takes heat off Mike Evans, takes heat off of Gronk. I mean, over the last number of weeks, nobody's had more red zone targets in the NFL than Gronk has. Touchdowns in the last three games. But now you have to worry about Antonio Brown. That just opens up all kinds of more room and more options. You say it, and I know it's a quote from somebody else. Better is better.
Bob Vespasiani.
There it is.
He's a Massachusetts guy, not a Philly guy. Massachusetts.
But better is better.
Better is better.
So, yeah, they need him.
Producer Clark has said, can you get everyone to comment with where they're watching from today? That would be awesome. If you can do it for the viewers that are watching on Facebook Live, tell us where you're watching from. And also on the Prairie Mobile text line. Let's fire that up, too. 306-840-8777 for our Game Plus viewers. The number's on the screen. Tell us where you're watching from today. Let's move on. Point two, we've covered this a lot today. Mark Scheifele says he's 100% recovered from the lower leg injury that knocked him out of the playoffs for the Winnipeg Jets against the Calgary Flames. And who's kidding who? It foiled the series right there in Game 1. The Jets were not the same team after, and you shouldn't fold when your best player goes down, but most teams do. That's not a black mark on the Jets, if you will. But it takes a hell of a lot to pull a team out of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It changes the complete complexion of your makeup, your mindset. You know, it always takes a little stress off when he's in the lineup doing his thing. Even if he's not producing goals and whatnot, it takes the pressure off, and it changes everything when he's not there.
Our viewers are writing in Burns Lake, B.C., Langley, B.C., Winnipeg, Manitoba, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, DeWinton, Alberta, sunny Toronto, 16 degrees. Craig Campbell checking in from the Hockey Hall of Fame. That was a good idea, Clark. We're Canada-wide. How about some of you Americans Oh, they're probably all watching election coverage, but unless you're sick of that, and then we welcome you all over here. St. Albert, Alberta, and so forth. Point three, I registered for Grey Cup Unite, and I encourage you to do the same. That is the virtual Grey Cup week that the CFL has put it together with a ton of sponsors. Let's help the CFL out and have a little fun along the way. All you got to do is go to greatcupunite.ca. Five questions there to fill out: your name, your address, your email. Are you a season ticket holder or not? And will you be attending the business summit? Which I'm still 50-50 on. But I've signed up. It'll take you less than a minute, I swear. Have I ever steered you wrong? Point four. What a circus the U.S. election has become. And this is unfolding minute by minute. It was one thing last night to watch the commentary on Fox News and CNN and what was being said on Twitter. That was all a three-ring circus. Today, Darren, they've added a fourth ring to the circus. And I was just checking Facebook in the break, and some of my friends are saying, this is rigged. It's swinging in the Democrats' favor today. All these votes that are yet to be counted are all Democrat votes. I'm not going to go any further down that road. That's the extent of it. But it's really looking like a sham, and it would be very 2020 if there was found to be some skullduggery involved in this.
It would be. And it would be very 2020 if this carried into 2021, right? I mean, it would be just the way that, what else would you expect? And this is to carry into the next, into the new year. But yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of tension on social media. There's a lot of tension in households, you know, across the United States and in Canada. But for the most part, trying to stay out of it as much as we can, because I know that it's never as bad as it seems, and it's never as big of a deal as we make it out to be in our own minds.
You're right about that. Tom in Winnipeg's watching. He says, Sunny Winnipeg, come on down to Winnipeg. Get the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what Willie Jefferson said?
Come on down.
He says, going to get up to 17 degrees Celsius today. I would suggest in Fahrenheit for our American viewers, what's that, 65, 60? Nothing wrong with that. Probably 65-ish. To point five, it dovetails off point four, and that's sports in 2021. And I'll actually answer that question for our viewer in Edmonton, John, who said, how does this affect, if Trump bans international travel, how does that affect sports? Let's just build one step at a time. Let's see who's the president after today. And then we'll deal with the fallout of international travel. And if the border remains closed, you have your answer, John. You have your answer. And I would hate to be a commissioner of a league right now. I don't care how much it pays. There's not enough money in the world that would want me to take that job, and the stress right now of not knowing if you can do a schedule. Is there going to be an all-Canadian division in the NHL or the NLL, or the Toronto Raptors have to move to Kansas City or Louisville, Kentucky, and potentially never come back? Which brings me to point five, sports in 2021. With the information I was forwarded yesterday, and you could hold me down and do water torture, and I'm not going to tell you where it came from, I circulated to some of my big business friends, and I said, do you think this is true? I showed it to my wife, and she got scared. I was scared watching it as to where we're going. Not for your personal safety. We're all going to be fine. Financial safety, little different story there.
Whoa.
And when it comes to sports, it really wasn't that big of a deal after hearing this about whether there's going to be a CFL next year or even an NHL or sports at all. Just with regards to where the COVID controls are going. And I don't even think you can put the brakes on this. Back to what you're saying, it's not as bad as you think. So if it's another year of being locked up at home, eating ice cream and watching reruns of Law and Order, is it really that bad? Really?
It's bad when you're in it. It's
but you know what I'm saying? How bad is it?
How bad is it?
Because to the sports, and I'm sorry to cut you off, and I will get back to you on that, but if they can find a way to play, because the government and the health officials were not stopping any leagues from playing, really, They're like, here's the blueprint. If you can follow it and find a way to make money, go nuts. And the NFL and NHL and college football did. I don't think the U.S. protocols were much different than the Canadian protocols. It's just sports isn't as important in Canada as it is in America.
Yeah.
So to the Canadian Football League, the junior leagues to which we hold near and dear to our heart, and the NLL as well, all the leagues that we cover here regularly. Curling, too. Government hasn't really shut them down in terms of competition, per se. It's the amount of people allowed in the building. So if you, these leagues, what did John Tory, the mayor of Toronto, say? Or was it Larry Smith, the former commissioner of the CFL? Maybe they both said it at the start of this. The CFL needs to get creative. Have we seen much creativity other than the fan base? Engrave your name on the base for the trophy? What No. really is creative about fundraising or revenue streams for the CFL or any really of these leagues beyond what it was before the pandemic? Not much. So while the CFL, from what we understand, is looking at plan A, playing in full stadiums, plan B, playing in partially full stadiums, plan C, playing in empty stadiums, or plan D, not playing at all, I would be bracing for the worst and planning for plan C. Sorry to go off on this.
No, that's right, though. Like, talk about how bad does it ever seem. I mean, when you're in it, it's horrible. When we look out, when we look back on this, if it's 2 years, if it's 3 years,
yep,
it's not going to seem as big of a deal. 3 years in the grand scheme of your life is not a lot, not a big deal. Life, we say it's short, but life is actually pretty long for the most part. But when you're in it, it's really, really tough. But when it comes to these leagues, you're right. The creativity is not there. The creativity is, how can we do the same thing we've always done? And how do we get more fans in the building? How do we get back to the same way it's always been?
That's what it's looked like.
That's not creativity. Creativity is, how can we do things differently to still survive? How can we do things differently? Not, how can we get more fans in the stands? How can we get back to normal? How can we get them to change their rules so that we can do what we've always done? Get creative on new ways to do it, how to be innovative.
Don in Winnipeg says, what day are the Sim playoffs? Thank you for asking, Don. Our CFL Esports League doubleheader divisional semifinals is Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern on this channel. Toronto at Ottawa, 5 p.m. Eastern, followed by BC at Saskatchewan. Thanks for asking. John in Edmonton says, if we have no sports next year, what are you guys going to talk about? John, leave that to me. We went 4 months this summer without sports, and we never missed a beat, and you didn't miss a show. Just leave that to moi. And my guy riding shotgun here, Kimo Sabi. You had a point?
No, that was it. Just what's what we've done for the last year or the last 8 months, right? There, you know, we haven't had a lot of sports. And it's funny, we haven't once had the conversation, what are we going to talk about today?
Larry Langill's watching in Brampton, Ontario. He says, I live in the GTA. There's still no marketing in the least in the GTA area. Anything at all would do. I'm going to blow a gasket. Larry, you need to be a little more specific to me. What do you expect to see? Who are we talking with last week from the Toronto Argonauts about the lack of marketing? And they said there's no games to market. Hoagie, The voice of the Argos, Mike Hogan. He's like, what's to market? The season's canceled. I mean, they could market Grey Cup Unite, I guess. Get what I'm saying?
I do.
Now's not the time to complain about lack of marketing for your local sports teams because they're not playing. Point six in the quick six show topics here. Chase Claypool, star of the Pittsburgh Steelers from Vancouver, British Columbia, doesn't love the name Mapletron. I'm having a lot of fun with this. He could be Rookie of the Year in the National Football League. He's already tied for the most touchdowns by a Canadian in 1 year was 7. He's got half a season to go. And they've nicknamed him Mapletron. And I heard him on the radio yesterday at TSN 1050 Toronto. They asked him, how do you feel about the nickname Mapletron? And he's like, I don't love it. And he said, I get that they're comparing me to Megatron. Calvin Johnson with the Detroit Lions, and I'm Canadian, so it's Mapletron. But if you're asking me, I don't love it. It just made me love the kid even more because of his honesty. And he said, but the fans love it, so I'll go along with it, which I just think is amazing. And I bought at Ultimate Fan Zone in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, a Steelers pullover very similar to this one I'm wearing for my beloved Dallas Cowboys right now, just because of Chase Claypool. And that's the danger the CFL ran by not playing this year is, like, I'm out buying NFL gear. I'm pretty sure kids are buying NFL gear because they're seeing Chase Claypool on TSN do these interviews. That's the decision the owners made not to play. Are they going to make that same decision in 2021? Remains to be seen. Clark, your dad's watching. He says he's sorry he's late. Just letting you know. And one more. Jack in Vulcan, Alberta's watching. He says, CFL 2021. No fans in stands. No money. No play. My opinion. Jack's saying if there's not fans allowed, they can't play. Then you're talking about not being very creative because the other leagues are doing it. And you're probably talking about the end of the Canadian Football League. It might have been a day or two since our next guest, Todd Stottlemyre, has heard any CFL talk.
Yeah.
Blue Jays great. He'll join us next. Thanks for sitting through all of that, Todd. They tell me he's loaded up. He's in the on-deck circle, if you will. This has been the warm-up, and you're watching the RP Show across North America on Game Plus Television Network, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back, everybody. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues. I already got questions coming in from Blue Jays fans from coast to coast for Todd Stottlemyre, a man who really needs no introduction, but 1988 to 1994 with Canada's team, the Toronto Blue Jays, where he won two World Series and then stops in Oakland, St. Louis, Texas, and Arizona. And he joins us today on video chat, and I think it is from Arizona today. Todd, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for the time. Big fan here, and I have to say, every year I emcee the Regina Red Sox banquet. The one year I miss, you're there to speak at it, and they're still talking about it. What do you remember about that night, Todd?
I just remember I got to tell you, it was heartwarming because just to see all the people come together, number one, for the banquet, and the banquet was obviously to support the local baseball team there. And you know, I think that one of the things I didn't realize is just how many baseball fans there truly are throughout the country of Canada. So it was a great experience for me. I had a lot of fun and had a great time on stage during the interview, answering the questions, and it was a lot of fun for me.
Well, that's why I was so excited to have you on here today, because Western Canada, you've been out here a few times. The Blue Jays train never really slowed down. You know what I mean? Like, we went 20 years between playoff berths, but the last few years have been exciting. And I'll give you an example. DG in Saskatoon has written us on the text line. He says, morning, guys. I want to get a message to Todd Stottlemyre. Your slide into third base in Game 4 of the 93 World Series is one of the most memorable sports events of my childhood. 10-year-old me loved it. I'll never forget that 15-14 Blue Jays win. What do you think when you hear things like that?
Well, you know, I guess you got to be remembered for something. I'm not so sure that's like my best performance on a baseball field, but I will say this, that that was a crazy game. And by the way, to the person who commented or sent the message, and I appreciate it. And one of the things that's really cool for me, even today, that, you know, especially to have incoming mail, and a lot of people from Canada sending baseball cards, and I'm just humbled and honored. I still get to sign cards today. People still remember. And, you know, so I'm grateful that I got an opportunity to live out my childhood dream, and and living out that childhood dream and it coming to real life happened for me in the country of Canada, and then to win the world championships there. So and to play on those great teams was really, really awesome. That slide into third base, I don't think it'd be a very good teaching video to teach people how to slide head first into third base. But nonetheless, it was, you know, it was kind of true to my form at that time. And that was all, I was just all out all the time and just always going for it. And a lot of times, because maybe emotionally I would get caught up into a game or something, sometimes it would end up not in the greatest result. But at the same time, you know, I always said, well, I'm just going to go do the best I can.
You know what? It embodied the entire attitude of that Blue Jays team, I think. And I will tell you this, because I was watching it live. My co-host here was born in 87, so he might not even remember. My producer was born in 91. I'd be shocked if he remembered. But through the pandemic, Sportsnet's been airing old Blue Jays games, and you guys have been watching those, right? And one thing that it reminded me of, Todd, is what seemed to be how close you guys were. Joe Carter, Robbie Alomar, of course, Pat Borders, Cito on top of it all. You just seemed like a really special group. You played on other teams. It couldn't have rivaled that, I wouldn't think, what you guys had.
Well, you know, everything rises and falls on leadership. It really started with Paul Beeson, and, you know, who was in charge. And from Paul Beeson to Pat Gillick and Pat Gillick to Cito Gaston, and then Cito Gaston to, you know, some incredible talent. And, you know, it's not always easy for the manager to manage the psychology of a bunch of guys that are truly great players. And that team consisted of guys that were truly great players. But I think you nailed it. I mean, we had so much fun together, whether we were in the locker room, whether we were on a team bus, a team airplane. Because you basically become family when you spend that much time together. And you know, it's a bond that also can't be broken. I always talk, people ask me all the time, and it's like, you know, when I've been back for the 92-93 World Championship reunions, it's as if it was just, it happened. You know, everyone kind of, it's funny. It's like we went and played in a golf tournament one year, and everyone sat in kind of the same location on the bus that they used to sit. And people were razzing one another just the same way they used to razz one another. And you know, it's a bond, and it's a brotherhood that just can't be broken. And no question that team was committed to one another. And even though each player had its own unique greatness, there was something weird that happened at 7 o'clock, 7:05. The lights are turned on, it's game time. And you've seen all of these people and different personalities and different talent come from different countries, come together as one, pull the same rope, have the same vision, and care truly about one another.
That's why you won. And now the fun questions from Brett. Did you and the mayor of Philly ever have a truce? Apparently you told him to kiss part of your body.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is, you know, that all started in prior to game four. It's the only time a starting pitcher goes and faces the media and goes through an interview prior to pitching in a game. It's always post. But in a World Series, you have a conversation with the media before the game or prior to the game the day before and then after the game. So, you know, when I walked in with Howie Starkman, our PR director, and, you know, the questions started flying from the mayor said this, the mayor said that, and then, you know, emotionally I got engaged in it. And that's never a good thing as an athlete, but I got sucked into it and kind of started competing with that conversation. And then, of course, you know, I had my not so famous words, you can kiss my, you know what, and not being smart enough to understand it was being televised, not only nationally, but internationally. But I remember a couple of days after the World Series, I thought, you know, let's make something good out of something bad that happened. And, you know, through that whole conversation, and I actually called the mayor's office and I asked to speak to the mayor, and they asked who's calling. I said, this is Todd Stottlemyre. They said, hold on a second. And they put the phone on hold. They came back and they said, sorry, the mayor's not available. And so he didn't want to take the call, I guess. But I mean, I don't blame him. But at the same time, you know, I called the mayor's office thinking, hey, why don't we put an event together where you actually try to hit off of me and we'll raise my money for Philadelphia, we'll raise money for Toronto and the country of Canada, and we'll give the money away to U Sports or somebody that is in great need, and we'll take something that's bad that's happened or controversial, let's make something good out of it and have fun with it. But I wanted to do that to put an end to it and, you know, kind of call a truce. And you know, I thought we both took the wrong positions in it, but at the same time, that never happened. And, you know, so obviously we just had to let it go.
Well, live and learn. But I think that's why we loved you so much, the emotion. So from another viewer, Darren Bradley, who, by the way, is a mayoral candidate in our current civic election time. He said, Todd is an amazing person. After baseball, he's the reason my life has changed after talking to him at the dinner behind the scenes. Absolutely love Todd. Thanks for everything. Read his books. And I wanted to get into that. That's a perfect segue into it. What are you doing now, Todd?
Well, I got to say that warms my heart. You know, you wonder sometimes, you know, you wake up, go out throughout the day and you wonder, it's like, you know, I send a lot of messaging out on social media and this and that. And of course, I've had to go through, you know, some big changes, you know, mentally and emotionally. And you know, you ask and you kind of great lead in, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I just finished writing my second. The name of the book is The Observer, a modern fable to mastering your emotions. And, you know, what led to that book. Sorry about that, guys.
We're going to audio only. Continue. We can hear you. We can't see you. The guys are fixing it in the back. Continue, Todd.
Yeah. So what really led to writing this book was, you know, shortly after the 1993 World Series, you know, one of the things, you know, one of the things that I got to a point where I was like, you know, I didn't like the way I was performing on the field, which what I really mean is I thought I could do so much more. I didn't think I was coming close to my potential. But I also didn't like the way I was responding to certain situations off the field. And I thought, man, I'm a better person than this. And based on all of this is like, I reached out to a guy who happens to, you know, at the time he was baseball's mindset coach and wrote The Mental Game of Baseball. And his name was Harvey Dorfman. And he'd worked with a lot of Hall of Famers and a lot of pitchers and helped people turn their careers around. And I reached out to him and I said, Harvey, I said, this is Todd Stottlemyre. I said, man, I'd love to meet with you. And he said, man, I've been waiting on you. And I was like, wow. I didn't even know he knew who I was. And so we ended up booking a meeting before the 94 season. And we met in a hotel room and we spent 12 hours together. And in the first hour, he asked me a very, very important question. He said, Todd, I got to ask you a question. He says, would you do it all over again? And I was like, I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, would I do what all over again? He said, would you give that bone marrow transplant to your little brother? Would you do that? And I was like, wow. And I just emotionally broke into tears. And I said, Harvey, I said, I would do it every minute, every hour, every day, every week. I would do it over and over and over. And that bone marrow transplant he was referring to was 12 years prior to that. When I was 15, my little brother was 11. I gave him the bone marrow transplant, ended up putting him into a coma. And then he then passed afterwards. And I left that hospital with traditional sadness, but also left with hate and guilt. And, you know, I never healed that hate and guilt. So every time I couldn't control the situation, the hate and guilt would come to the surface and I couldn't control it. And it would, and then I would respond to certain situations in a horrible way and very emotionally. And it wasn't. And then when he said, if you would do it all over again and knowing you did everything you could do last time, and if you would do it all over again, he says, Todd, I need you to let that go. He says, you need to forgive yourself and just let it go because you already did. And this is the first time I'd ever heard those words in 12 years. And I was like, I just broke down. And then he said to me, he said, it was very important. He said, Todd, if you would have said no, I would have told you, change today to honor the defeat. And I was just like blown away. In the last hour, though, it became life changing when he put me on a 7-day challenge. And in the 7-day challenge, here's what he said to me. He said, you are not allowed to respond to anything in the next seven days, not mentally, not emotionally. He said, the only thing you can do is document how you're thinking and how you're feeling. You're not allowed to respond for 7 days, just document. Here's what he said. I want you to observe your thoughts and I want you to observe your emotions. And he says, because what you've done in your whole life, it's been knee jerk. And it's like every time you can't control something, you compete against it and all of this hate and guilt is flying out of you. He says, I need to teach you to learn about your thoughts and about your emotions. I did this for 7 days, but I've not only did it for 7 days, I've been doing it every single day since then. It was life-changing for me. And through that, he gave me tools to put in the tool chest that said, listen, if you'll become completely aware around your thoughts and emotions, you can step away from it and make better decisions and respond differently to certain things. And I was like, I needed that. I knew I needed that. And that was the making of this book, The Observer. And it was, you know, it was based on me having to become the observer of my life to understand the state and awareness of my thoughts and emotions and what state I was in. Because as human beings, we have the power to change our state anytime we want. Just think about the world we're in today and how much hate there is and how much knee-jerk reaction and how people, everyone's got to be right instead of people understand someone's other's opinion. See, I didn't want to be right. I just wanted to compete and win all. And because I wanted to compete and win all the time, every time there was something that wasn't going the way I wanted to, these emotions would then surface. And as those emotions surfaced, they would take me to places of no return, sometimes even blacking out. I would get so mad. And what would that do? That would cost us games on the baseball field, but it would cost me relationships off the field. It would cost me being the best version of myself. So if for me, since my baseball career, man, it's just been one day after another and studying, reflecting, understanding, building upon it. And now I want to share it with the world because that was my mess I was in. I was living in hate and guilt, and I had to heal the hate and guilt in order to deliver the message. And I'm delivering the message through the book, The Observer. So it doesn't matter where you're at, you know, and even if you say, man, I'm Todd, I'm doing great. I don't need to read the book. I would tell you that if you think you're doing great and you're resting there, you've died on your feet. So well, I believe that the book is for everyone.
That's Recovery Coaching 101. And good for you for giving back. And that guy obviously extended your career and also changed your life, as you mentioned. And we only got a couple minutes left, Todd, but I got to tell you this. My first job in this business was operating Blue Jays radio broadcasts on CFSL Weber, and the voice of the team was Tom Cheek. You know him. And he always referenced your dad, Mel Stottlemyre. And I was looking at Mel's Wikipedia this morning, and it never said, like, what did Mel have a role with the Blue Jays? Was he on the bench? Because if you go check out his Wikipedia, it doesn't say that he coached with the Blue Jays. But Tom always talked about him.
No, he never did. And I think that, you know, the baseball world admired my father for the person he was, the coach he was, the player he was. And he was just so admired by the baseball community, and rightfully so. And you know, at the time of his passing, I just remember telling people, I was like, you know, if you look and owners in baseball, writers in baseball, teammates that he had, coaches, managers, the entire community around the baseball and around sports was paying tributes to my father. And I remember saying to people, I said, you know, publicly, my father is being admired and respected and they're paying tributes. I said, but let me explain something. Is my father was 10 times that man privately than he was publicly. See, my father was my hero. He was my best friend. He was my brother. He was my father. He was my mentor. He was my coach. He was absolutely, hands down, the greatest man I've ever met. And he was 10, I'm telling you, he was 10 times that person, which is why I think the baseball world fell in love with him. So I'm forever grateful. His legacy lives in my heart. He paved one hell of a road to try to follow. I would tell you that that's a challenge. He left a big shadow, but I'm so forever grateful for his life, for him being my father, and for everything that he meant for not only my life, but for a lot of people's lives.
Well, he'd be proud that you're carrying it on. And my dad worked 26 years in the NHL. He left us in 2018. And I never got tired of people asking me, how's your dad? How's your dad? How's your dad?
Right.
Everywhere I went, I loved it. And it'd be the exact same thing with you. So, but yourself, Todd, a Canadian sports icon, huge fans here. We do got to run, but The Observer's the book. I'm assuming they can order it anywhere.
You can go to Amazon.ca. You can go anywhere, Barnes & Noble. You can come to ToddOfficial.com. I'm also launched a free book club. Then I'm going to go through the book chapter by chapter throughout 2021. talk about the influence, talk about where I got the lessons, applied them, who they came from the people like Cito Gasson, my father, Yogi Bear, Mickey Mantle, lots of lessons in the book. It's a modern fable. I built characters into it, and it's based on real, true life events of dealing with cancer, dealing with success, dealing with failure, and going through it. So, man, I hope you'll reach out, and guys, I hope you'll reach out and order the book and come join the book club totally free, and let's hang out all year 2021 going through the book together.
I think we all need it. Todd Stottlemyre, thank you. Keep it up down
there. Love you, man. Appreciate
you. Love you, too. Thank you, Todd.
You brought me on your show, so you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Stay safe. Todd Stottlemyre from Phoenix, Arizona. The best.
What a story.
Yeah, love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back. We'll unpack more on that. Sports update and viewer takeover. Hang on. You're watching the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
That'd be a great Big Bird day today, wouldn't it?
Whew. Milestone, though. Right?
That is, yeah. My Jeep is in my brother's barn. He's watching right now. It'd be a great Jeep day today. Oh, I put that thing away 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
Golf courses are
Todd Stottlemyre told me he loved me.
It's a hallmark moment.
Today's already a win.
Yeah.
I was telling producer Clark that through all those years of hosting the Red Sox banquet that I have, I've had occasion to be with Robbie Alomar, interview those guys, spend time. Robbie Alomar, Cito Gaston, Dwayne Ward. Quite a crew. And not every single one of them has been a great guy. Everyone. Helps.
You don't come back and do those dinners if you're not.
Well, Tiger Williams always said, the jerks don't do them.
Doesn't matter.
The jerks just want to stay home.
Doesn't matter how much you get paid.
A sports update. Canadian strawweight Randa Quiet Storm Marcos will make her 16th UFC appearance when she takes on Japan's Kaneko Murata on a November 14th fight night card in Las Vegas. Marcos is looking for some redemption with losses in three of her last four bouts. The 35-year-old is 6-8-1 since making her debut in the UFC in 2014. She fought in, I think, the first UFC card of the pandemic in Jacksonville. Do you remember watching that one? Jacksonville Events Center?
Yep.
I don't believe she won that one. So she is looking for redemption. Hamilton's Forge FC is heading home from Central America today with their heads held high. Forge FC earned a 2-1 road win over Panama's Toro FC, moving the Canadian Premier League champions into the CONCACAF League quarterfinals. Antonio Brown has been activated and is set to practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the first time today. You want to talk about circuses? Be a lot of cameras on that Bucs practice.
Oh, yeah.
Going on right now, I'm sure.
For sure.
The Bucs signed the receiver last week and expect him to make his debut with his team when they host the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Brown was suspended for the first 8 games of the season for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. Interestingly enough, none of those were substance abuse. I just want to put that out there. Of all the crazy, zany things AB did, substances weren't one.
Interesting.
I'm not saying anything, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. You would just assume that there would be more issues going on.
Wasn't suspended for any drug-related violation. Just very bizarre behavior. And assaults that are still before the courts, from what I understand.
Yep.
Canada's Brittany Marchand is hoping for a better result in the second round of the Symetra Tour Championship. Marchand opened with a 6-over-78 at the lower tier event being held in North Carolina, putting herself in danger of missing the cut. And MLS resumes tonight with 5 games on the schedule. It's the final week of the regular season, and playoff positioning is on the line for some clubs. The Montreal Impact have the night off, but will keep their eye on the Chicago Fire, who are facing Minnesota. Chicago can leapfrog 9th place Montreal in the East with a win. The top 10 teams get a playoff berth. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive, where it's Wendell Wednesday. The Wendell Burgers on sale today, featured $12.95. See at Wendell's. For the Tap Brew House and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have with 8 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours now at G2GBars.ca. Did you get producer Clark his in the break?
I did.
Before we delve back into the sports talk, I noticed you have the new shirt on. Do you want to?
Oh, you did notice.
I just did.
I thought I could slip that by you.
Brand new shirts for sale on the rodpetersonshop.com. Show them, big boy. Okay. You got to move out from behind the. Put your balls on the table. For our RP at the bottom. For our new viewers that have only been watching this show since July 2nd on Game Plus TV, because we've been going for a year and a half. Do you want to explain the shirts?
Yeah. Well, that's from and where does it go back? That's your line.
Yeah.
You said on the show.
You got to put your balls on the table.
And I think that was that the Memorial Cup comments?
Right? I guess. I have no idea.
It goes all the way back to the Memorial Cup. Kelowna, Kamloops, the battle there, right? About going all in. That's what it was. Kelowna didn't make any trades. The deadline going all in. They're supposed to host the Memorial Cup. Well, it turns out didn't even happen.
They tiptoed around.
But you said you can't just go in. You got to put your balls on the table and go all in. And it became this. We've used it more than
once. A rallying cry.
Yeah, and it's been used more than once. So we're going to check and see. If they're not on the store yet, they're in the process. So our people are putting them up on the store right now. There is white. There's also a navy shirt. And there are a few limited editions, limited quantities of ladies' cut shirts, too, ladies' fit. So they're going to be up at rodpetersonshop.com.
From the infamous Paul, he's watching on one of the floors below here. He says, I need one. Well, Paul, rodpetersonshop.com. A viewer in Edmonton says, the CFL needs to put their balls on the table. From Brady in Saskatoon says, is that appropriate for school? Yes, of course it is.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, we got balls on the table. Right here. Monty in Saskatoon says, that's old school. I'm old school. And as my brother and I talk about all the time, the cowboy, when we come out of this social justice warrior age that we live in, politically correct, old school is what will be left standing. Old school.
Yes.
Larry in Medicine Hat says, with no fans and TV money, I would watch the CFL with Canadian players and a sprinkle of Americans so the CFL could afford to operate. That's what the CFL was in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Darren and I sat at a table at Smokin' Okie's Barbecue with George Reed, and he explained the whole thing. Where is George? Right here. George Reed. The iconic George Reed explained that. That's what the CFL used to be. There was only 4 Americans per team. That would be one way the CFL might go. There are many. And as a matter of fact, let's break and come back for viewer takeover, okay? And we'll get into all of these things. Hang on. Let's just call it overtime, Clark. What do you say? We'll be right back. It's the RP Show you're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And welcome back, everybody. It is the overtime segment. Got a lot of things going on. I don't know why I didn't have this out here earlier. I'm going for lunch today with the CEO of Direct West. It's one of our biggest partners here, Direct West. Phone book in your hand. Download the MySask 411 app as we support Saskatchewan business with Direct West. The poll question today, which I have not mentioned one time for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL this year? The options are Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, or other. The whopping majority on Facebook are voting for Russell Wilson. Same thing on Twitter. And I've seen some write-in ballots here for Aaron Rodgers, and maybe they haven't noticed, but the Packers have been smacked around the last two games. A lot of Packer fans in this country, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting thing, too, by the way, our most voted on polls, if you want to get into analytics, are of the NFL and the NHL. True story. Right?
People feel
most
confident.
People.
Right? They know what they're talking about.
I guess so. I don't know what it is.
A lot of coverage.
Those what the numbers say, what do they mean? Different thing. Prairie Mobile text line. We're only reading one text per day from people. Come on.
Make it count.
From Metal Shingle Guy. I'm listening in from beautiful downtown Regina. Last hour, we had asked the viewers to tell us where they were watching from, and it was everywhere all over North America. And our Listen Live feed, you can listen 24 hours a day. We run on a loop, just like Howard Stern, and it's brought to you by Suds Full Service Car Wash, where I'm going today to give my beautiful vehicle a bath, because my car deserves it. I haven't said this yet today, but thank you to TSN and whichever publisher published these books. This is James Duthie's book, Beauties, Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories. And this is Bob McKenzie with Jim Lang, Everyday Hockey Heroes. I've put photos of this up on our social media, and I just realized I did not tag Jim Lang in it, and I should. He's a good friend of ours, and he did this with Bob McKenzie. What, Bob McKenzie couldn't write a book on his own?
No, when Jim's there to do it.
You would think he could. Anyways, Clark tells me both of them are on the show next week.
It's like you with the home renos. Just because you can doesn't mean you want to.
Hey, just tell me about it. I'm still healing from doing home renos on the weekend.
Yeah.
But I will say this. My wife looked at me like I was a god that I was doing these renos on my own.
That's why you do it.
Once a decade.
Just a reminder.
I can do it. Viewer in Edmonton says, talking about promotion, look at the hockey arena in Edmonton, Rogers Place. You can't even tell a WHL team plays there. And some days, people don't even realize the WHL team in Edmonton is even playing. These are problems not for today. I feel like Todd Stottlemyre and I could squire ourselves in a coffee shop and not leave for days. Because we get each other, and then most of the public doesn't get us. For instance, John has asked about the Edmonton hockey rink. There's nothing going on, John. Who cares? Go for a walk. Read a book. Take up a hobby. Don't worry about these things. He had asked earlier about what do we think about Vancouver putting their name in for the 2030 Olympics. John, I'm thinking about what I'm doing this afternoon. That's it. I'm not thinking about the 2030 Olympics. Do you understand how different the world's going to look by then? And you don't even need to listen to me. Don't. Do whatever you want to do. And Monty, shut your mouth. Beat it. Anyways, you had some good advice in the warm-up, too. With regards to not panicking with the results of the election, not panicking with home lockdowns, because I believe, by the way, that they are coming. The report that was sent to me was complete immobilization within the not too distant future. Complete immobilization. So that's my point. The government has said, you sports leagues and the health officials have said, you can play, but you're not going to have anybody in your arena. So that's kind of been the crux of today's show in a lot of ways, is there will be sports, but only for the ones nimble and that are able to pivot and make money and survive without fans. And so far, the CFL's been unable to do it. Junior hockey's been unable to do it. Major juniors, so far. Junior A, yes. But that's the theme and the moral of the story, Darren, for 2021, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's the moral. Don't overreact. Take a breath. You'll be okay.
We are out of time. Come up tomorrow. Dave Hodge from TSN. Can't wait. We'll see you at 12 p.m. Eastern on Game Plus.
You screwed up, Clark.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.